Still morning, so good morning. I sorry for those of you who were looking for a short message, but since there is no Bible class or Sunday school, they basically told me I could go until 3 o'clock if I wanted to, so, but I won't do it to you. I have one verse and then we will expand. And it's found in the first book of Thessalonians. Chapter 4. Put my notes out first. Give me some time to read it. And the verse is verse 11. Now, I have to tell you, I started preparing this message last June. And I kept getting waylaid and interrupted, and I didn't feel it was appropriate. And I guess the Lord was holding it for today. Because I think it's fairly appropriate for the new year. Verse 11, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Let's pray. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this church, we thank you for the people that are in here. We thank you for those that are listening. Our sincere desire is that your word would be beneficial to all who hear. And if there is anyone who is not saved, that at this time, your Holy Spirit would reveal to them the need to be saved and that they would come forward. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's a very interesting verse. What I read was from the King James Version, and I'm going to kind of break it down for you because there's some very, very important words that you need to understand. First of all, he says that he wants you to study. Study? Everybody know study? All our ex-students know study? Well, actually, there is study plus because it means to study and to strive or to work at it. In other words, don't just know about it, but work at it. And then it says to be quiet. And this, again, is a word that needs to be expanded because it means to be quiet. It means to be peaceful. It means to be serene. It means to be calm. Then he says to do your own business. No, he is not telling you to mind your own business. Okay, we can be fresh with that. But what he is saying to you is that, and again, I'm speaking primarily at this point to people who are Christians, who identify as Christians. What he's saying to you is that he has put you someplace in whatever circumstance that you are in. He's put you into a job. He's put you into a position. He's put you into a neighborhood. He's put you into a school. He's put you into a company. And that as you are there in that company, you need to do a good job. You need to do a good job. And why that's important, we will get to in a minute. And you need to do that good job through yourself, with your own hands. You don't want to be a burden to anyone. You don't want to have to lay on anyone. You want to do what God has given you to do and do it with the ability that he has given you to do. And then he says, as I have commanded you. This is Paul writing. Now, in the book of John, chapter 14, John says, if you love me, I mean, Jesus says, if you love me, some of you know this, right? If you love me, what do? You keep his commandments. Now, when Paul is writing this to the saints at the Thessalonians, it is literally Jesus writing to the Christians of today. Same thing. Jesus is saying to you, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. You will do what I ask you to do. So, but there are lots of commandments. There are tons of them. There is the Ten Commandments. There is the commandment to go out into all the world and convert people. There is a commandment to love your brother as you love yourself. There is the commandment to judge not. There are commandments that run on, and you should follow every commandment that you're aware of that Jesus has given you. But this morning, we want to concentrate on a very narrow commandment that he has given us, and that is to live a quiet life. A quiet and peaceful life. And that's very important as Christians. Paul is very clear in this verse that we should study to be quiet, do our own business, and we should do it as we commanded. But what does that really mean? How do you break down to being quiet and doing your own business and being commanded? I believe, from what I have read, that what it really means is that we have to have a general, overarching quality to our lives, to our everyday Christian lives, that is peaceful and calm. Quality and appearance. If we were to put this into a visual context, the quiet, peaceful Christian life is the backdrop of our lives. It's like a play, and you're in a scene, and the scene is quiet, peaceful, and calm. Now, there are a whole lot of other things that can happen in front of that scene. On the backdrop, there are things that can go on, but the backdrop doesn't change. Kind of like, look at this stream back here. Doesn't it look peaceful and calm? Now, if I start jumping up and down and acting silly, that doesn't change the background. The background is still peaceful and calm. In Romans chapter 12, Paul is writing again to the Christians in Rome, and he says to them, verse 18, if it be possible, this is Romans chapter 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. If it is possible. And what Paul is saying here is that as much as you can, with every fiber of your body and your being, as much as possible, you need to act and live in a peaceable way with everyone, sinner and saint, with everyone. People should know you because you are a Christian, as a gentle, quiet, peaceful person. That's your backdrop of your Christian activity in this world. Now, what does being quiet and peaceful kind of look like? Number one, it does not mean not talking. Because obviously, I'm not being quiet and peaceful right now. I'm talking. But what it does mean is living in a manner where people observe and see a calm and peaceful appearance regardless of your circumstance. A life that demonstrates a confidence in the Savior that you believe in. A life that is not contentious or confrontational, but one of a peacemaker. A life that demonstrates the joy of being a child of God. A life that demonstrates the fruits of the Spirit. And we can really need to turn to that. And that's in Galatians chapter 5, because I want to emphasize the quality of life that we're talking about. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, the things that would describe a spirit or a quiet spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against which there is no law. Those are the kinds of things that we're talking about when we're being commanded to live a peaceful and quiet life. If you go to Philippians chapter 4, we get another description. At verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And you take all of these descriptions and you need to start mixing up and you get an idea of a quiet Christian life. Now, as I was saying before about the backdrop, things can go on in front of the backdrop. So consequently, it doesn't mean that you're going to have a life without problems. It does not mean you will not have sorrow. It does not mean that you will be faced with negative circumstances. It does not mean that you will have confrontations with other people. But through these things, the backdrop should reflect the life of a quiet and peaceful person who is a child of God. It's a quality of life that we're looking for. And this is important. Why is it important? Well, first of all, if you go back to Thessalonians chapter 4, the next verse after that says that you may walk honestly towards them who are without. You see, the world is watching your Christian life. The world is watching. The moment you identify yourself by any means or action as a Christian, they are watching you. That's why Jesus said to his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you're the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. What you do and what you say reflects on me and on my Father. So it's very, very important. That we live a quiet and respectful life. One of the commentators that I read, he made a quote in his commentary, and I'm going to give it to you right now, but it touched me to my core. He was talking about living a quiet Christian life. And what he says was that your life adds credibility to your witness. You understand that? What you do and how you live, if you are reflecting Jesus Christ in your life, adds credibility to your witness. And unfortunately, vice versa. If you are not living a quiet, peaceful life, if you're the kind of person that's hard to get along with, and you're the kind of person that's argumentative, that takes away credibility from your witness. Takes away credibility from your witness. What and how we carry ourselves carries a lot more weight than what we say. Secondly, a peaceful and quiet life is good for us as Christians. 1 Timothy 2 reads as follows. Where is Timothy? I exhort you, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we being us Christians, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. God wants us to have a peaceful and a quiet life. That's something that he wants. There is very few, if anything, that is better than living in the quiet confidence of being a Christian. Because you can't lose. The victory is already won. There may be problems, but you can't lose. I want to give you some verses. Matthew 6 and 20, 25 to 34 is very familiar. This is where Jesus tells the disciples, don't worry about what you have to wear or what you're going to eat or what you're going to, how you're going to get along. He says, because your Father knows that you need these things. And if you know that, in times of trouble and need, you can relax because God knows exactly what you need. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. In Romans 8 and verses 23, we are told that all things work together for good for them who love the Lord. All things. So there's a confidence there. Even if things are not going well, all things work together for good. We all know this one, Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm, we could probably all say it by heart almost. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk. That's the quiet life. That's David writing about the quiet life. And we all know that David had a very tumultuous life. David at one time was treated like an outlaw. The posses were out trying to get him. They were tracking him down. But still David could say, the Lord is my shepherd. God wants us to have a quiet and peaceful life. Be still and know that I am God. So the next question for us as Christians is, how do we get this quiet life? God wants us to have it. It's important for us to have it if we're going to be successful Christians and have an effective witness. We need to have and obtain, to some degree, this quiet life. Well, a lot of the verses that we read gave us some hints to that. Study and strive. The secret to a quiet and peaceful life is to work at it. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You cannot keep something that you don't know. You cannot keep a commandment that you are not aware of. All of God's commandments are right here. And if you want to keep God's commandments and demonstrate your love to him, you have to read this book. You have to identify the commandments that he has given us to do and do with the help of the Holy Spirit, because we can't do it on our own. Don't try to do it on your own. You can't. The Bible tells us you can't. The Bible tells you that you can do nothing without Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. But it also tells you that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So if you tap into the right powers, you can keep all of the commandments. Maybe not perfectly, because we're all human and we all slip up. But we need to keep those commandments. We need to pray. In Timothy, we were told to pray. We not, you know, we like to quote that verse too, to pray for all the people in authority that it might be well with us. But you know, verse one is connected to that request. And verse one says to pray for all men. And what should we pray for all men? We should pray for the salvation of the world. Because Jesus is the answer to every single problem that humanity has today. Every single problem. Mimic Christ's behavior. You want to have a role model? Let it be the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about these things. Meditate on these things. The fruits of the Spirit. Meditate on them. And think about them. And don't expose your mind to too many of the things in the world, because those things aren't peaceful. You know, alien versus predator. You know, and Game of Thrones. And what's the guy, Dr. Oz, whatever it is, and all those people with the problems. Think about what God has given us in this book. He has given us a map to live properly, and he has given us a book that is full of promises. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I have to tell you that quite honestly, for the last 25 minutes, I've been talking to Christians. I've been talking to Christians about the fact that you should be aware of what your life appears like to other people. I've been talking to you about living a quiet and peaceful life. I've been talking to you about how you do that. But if there's anyone in this room who does not have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I believe that that's a life that you want. I believe that you are here this morning because you are looking for a quiet and peaceful life. You're tired of the rat race. You're tired of having to defend yourself. You're tired of having to worry about what's going to happen next. And you're looking for some relief. I promise you, you'll never find it until you come to Jesus. And that's not a threat. It's not a threat. It's a knowledge of living a life with Jesus for the last 40 years. And I can testify that Jesus is your avenue. He's your street. He's the way to peace and quiet. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life, and have life more abundantly, more fully, more completely. In John 14, he says, my peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. But you have to take it. You have to take it by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus came to earth. We celebrated his birthday a week ago. And that's good that we are aware that Jesus was born into this world. But we need to recognize that the reason he came into this world in the first place is that we were lost sinners in need of salvation. And that he eventually died on the cross, shed his blood so that we can make our way back to God and find peace and quiet. If you are willing this morning to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he is ready to come into your heart. He is ready to wipe away all your sins. He is ready to give you the peace that only people who are saved and sanctified and heaven bound can have. Please, I beg of you, do not miss this opportunity. Okay, one of the things that this church is famous for saying from this pulpit, because it's true, is that none of you know where you're going to be tomorrow. You assume that you know. You might be planning to go to work. You may be planning to go on vacation. You may be planning to go back to school. But I guarantee you, there are people in this world right now who are planning for tomorrow who won't make it to tomorrow. And if you go home and you turn on Channel 5 or Channel 7, you'll hear about those people. None of us are promised tomorrow. And if you die in your sins, if you die without Christ, there is no hope of you getting to God. You're going to end up in a lost eternity. And I'm not preaching hell and brimstone. I'm preaching facts. When we die, we go to one of two places. We go to heaven or we go to hell. The determining factor as to where we go is made by us. We decide what we're going to do with the gift of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, go to hell, but should have everlasting life, go to heaven. But the choice is yours. It's not your grandmother's. It's not the person sitting next to you. It's not your best friend. You are the only one who can say to Jesus, Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Come into my life. And until you do that, you're on that broad road to hell. It is my sincere desire as I close today that if there is anyone here who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that when this meeting ends, you track me down. Find me, and I will be more than happy to explain to you how, in an instant, you can go from lost to saved. That's my desire for you. To my Christian friends, I just want to repeat Thessalonians chapter verse 11. Study to be quiet. Do your own business. Do your work as you were commanded. To those who are not saved, I repeat again John 3:16. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that if you were to believe on him, you would not perish, but you would have everlasting life. Let us pray. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to go into your word. We thank you for the opportunity to study and to recognize what you want for us as Christians. We would ask, dear Lord, that we would take this and we would run with it, that we would delve into your word, we would study it, and that there would be a definite addition of quiet and peacefulness in our Christian lives as we go about living for you, preaching for you, and spreading the gospel. For those who are not saved, dear Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would give them unsettledness, that you would give them no peace, you would give them no quiet until they come to know you as Savior. We ask all of this because we know that you love us, you care for us, and you only want the best for us. So we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And I would be remiss if I did not wish everyone a blessed new year. May it be a new year that is God-filled and Bible-filled. Thank you.